John chapter 7, and we're going to read one verse together in unison, verse number 24. John chapter 7 and verse number 24. Aren't you glad you're saved? John chapter 7, verse 24, we're reading from the King James Bible. And so if you have that, let's read together, shall we, in unison. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's the same God who said in Matthew chapter 7, judge not lest ye be judged. We covered that pretty thoroughly in the adult Bible study this morning. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that you should not judge. Nowhere. Any place that says thou shalt not judge, he tells you why you should be very careful in not judging, because you're going to be judged with the same judgment that you meet. But here Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse number 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about judging. Dear God, thank you again for loving us, for being a wonderful God. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you for salvation that we have through Lord Jesus. Now, dear Heavenly Father, please meet with us, speak to our hearts, teach us the Word of God this morning. Our minds have been so polluted by the world today that this is a subject that is contrary to most people's thinking today. But if we were to read the Bible, Lord, it would be very crystal clear that we are supposed to judge, we are commanded to judge, but to be very, very, very careful in judging. Thank you again for loving us. Please bless, meet with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Some of the biggest lies being perpetrated on God's people today is don't judge. You're being too judgmental. Only God can judge me. You have no right to judge me. Who are you to judge me? You have no right to judge me. What gives you a right to judge me? Years ago, there was a commercial. I can't remember who it was, but it was a great commercial on the radio. They said, people judge you by, remember that? The words you use. And that's a good judgment. People judge you by the words you use. First impressions are the most lasting ones. Everyone makes a judgment about everything in life. Everyone makes a judgment about clothing, facial expressions, tattoos, earrings, nose rings, hairstyle, hair color, fashions, fads, expressions, words, eye rolls, finger pointing. The list goes on. Everyone makes judgments about packaging of products. You look at the foods that you buy that are in boxes or bags, the clothes that you buy, the toys that are advertised, the tools, new cars, on TV and newspaper, magazine ads and billboard advertisements, houses for sale. Everybody makes judgments every single day. I said everybody. But we've been brainwashed by the world saying, don't judge me. You're just too judgmental. Whether people are lying to you or being honest with you, you make a judgment about that. Judging people's track record and their history of keeping their word is a judgment that you make one way or another. Whether somebody is trustworthy, reliable, and dependable is a judgment you make one way or the other. I judge church buildings every time I go to a different church. I shouldn't say this, don't take this the wrong way, but I judge people's houses and apartments. I judge everything all day long. The front, the sides, the back, the exterior, then the inside. I look around, I take everything I can in. I try to notice everything I can, whether you think I do or not. I want to be aware of my surroundings. I judge restaurants, don't you? Huh? I judge the building, the parking lot, to see if anybody's there. You know the old saying, if the parking lot's full, the food must be pretty good, huh? You judge that, don't you? It's only when it comes to the Bible and Christianity, people are told, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. That's because people don't read their Bibles. You are commanded to judge. I judge whether the inside, the exterior is clean or filthy. Whether it's a restaurant, a place, a church building, an apartment, a house, a store. I judge the people for their acts, the way they talk, the way they walk. I judge the music. I judge the furniture, the food. I love Gus's hot dogs. I'm not saying it's good for you, but I love Gus's hot dogs. Now, that's one instance that you ought to look past the appearance of a place, amen? That place is smaller than a hole in the wall, amen? But I'd rather go to, if I had one last meal, I'd go to Gus's hot dogs, amen? Just saying. I'm not saying it's good for you. I'm just saying they're delicious, amen? If you don't believe that, look at the line lining up outside down the street at Gus's Hot Dogs in Waterville. When you want to begin a relationship with someone, you should judge everything about a person. You should put all that judgment that you make about a person or a place into perspective. Are they punctual? How are they dressed? Most Greeks are notoriously late. If you want to have a Greek there, make sure you tell him 30 minutes before you want him to get there, amen? Because usually a Greek won't get there until 30 or 60 minutes after you tell him to get there, amen? I judge directions. I judge if somebody's lying to me or exaggerating or coloring their story, whether they're making things up. I judge people, not completely, as I said this morning, I'm not judging their lives, but I can judge a lot about a person who teaches their kids about a Santa Claus who takes the place of Jesus Christ. I can tell a lot about a person who teaches their kids about tooth fairies and Easter bunnies. I can tell a lot about a person who has courage and backbone and integrity and grit and is honest. But I can also tell a lot about a person who's two-faced, lazy, and hypocritical and wants to blame other people. I can tell a lot about a person when they talk bad about others outside their presence. I can tell whether somebody's blaming somebody else and being hypocritical. I can tell if somebody's got if they're disloyal or they're being a traitor. I can tell if somebody's being a busybody, sticking their nose into somebody else's business. Are they keeping to themselves or sticking their nose where it ought not to be? I can judge whether somebody's willing to sacrifice for what is right and true. Do they love God? Do they love the King James Bible? Do they love the house of God? What do they think about church? Do they love old-fashioned hellfire and damnation preachers of God? Do they love the men of God? Are they lukewarm, disobedient to the scriptures? Are they rebellious, uncaring about the salvation of others? Do they give of themselves to others? Are they selfish? Do they have perseverance? Do they give up too easily? Do they walk away from responsibility and duty? Are they responsible? What kind of husband material are they? What kind of wife material are they? Are they a keeper? Does she cook, clean, wash, bake, scrub floors? Is she neat and orderly? Are they respectful and kind? Are they gracious? Do they have manners? Do they act like a pig? Do they look like a punk? Do they look like a pothead or a drunk or a gambler? Are they faithful? Do they work hard? Do they save their money? Are they giving to others? Are they courteous? Are they hospitable? Are they kind to strangers? How are they when they drive? Do they get angry easily? Do they yell? Do they raise their voice? Are they bitter and jealous and envious? Do they covet what others have? Do they love money? Are they in love with themselves and their self-portraits and their selfies? Is it all about them? What does their social media profile look like? Are they afraid to speak of the truth for fear of offending someone and losing fake friends? Do they love their family? Do they love their husband? Do they love their wife? Do they love their parents? Do they love their children? I make judgment calls about all of those things. And so should you. So should you. Don't you think you ought to judge politicians and leaders and public speakers? Sure. And you do, whether you like them or not. Whether you hate them or not. As I said in the adult Bible study this morning, I've worked in the court system for 40 years, over 40 years. During jury selection, there are many people who say, I cannot judge another human being. My religion forbids me to judge anyone else. First of all, that's a lie, probably. And if it's not a lie, then it's stupid. I can't tell you how many times a Jehovah's false witness, or, you know, I haven't seen the Amish or Mennonite, but especially Jehovah's false witnesses and some other religious people, who say they do not believe in judging other people. The only God should judge others. The judge on the bench will try to explain. All you have to do is listen to the testimony and the evidence in the case and apply the law to the testimony and to the evidence admitted at trial. But pacifists and people ignorant of the Bible will parrot the phrase, I can't judge anyone. Only God can judge. Murderers, rapists, pedophiles, sodomites, homosexuals, and perverts don't bother you? Someone living a life of crime doesn't bother you? If you have an open mind, that means you have a hole in your head. Why'd you marry the person you married? You judged. Why did you go to school you did? You judged. Why do you live where you live? You judged. Why do you work where you work? You judged. You made a judgment call. Why do you drive the car you drive? You judged. Which car you could afford, which car you thought was the best deal, the best buy for the money that you had. You made a judgment call. Why did you buy the house you live in? You judged. Why do you come to this church? Because someone fooled you, that's why. Why would you ever want to come back here? Because your parents or your husband forced you to. Johnny was late getting up one day, Sunday morning, and Mom walks in the room and said, John, if you don't get up soon, you're going to be late for church. She says, Mom, I don't want to go. And rolled over, went back to bed. But Johnny, you got to go to church. I don't want to go to church this morning. He rolled back and Mom pulled the covers and said, Johnny, you got to go to church this morning. So tell me one good reason I have to go to church this morning. He said, because you're the pastor. Some people are just forced to come to church, amen. How you judge others reveals what you're really like. There is no verse in the entire Bible that says we should not judge. Not one verse. It's thou shalt not kill is in the Bible. But what about war? There's plenty of verses, dozens and dozens and dozens of verses in the Bible about going to war and fighting in a battle, in a war, and killing the enemy. What about protecting yourself and others from harm, from being killed or raped? There's plenty, dozens and dozens and dozens of verses in the Bible about providing for your own and protecting your own. Have you ever noticed that the people who always complain or criticize someone as being judgmental or criticizing them for judging them is usually the person guilty of the exact same thing they are being accused of? Let me repeat that. Have you ever noticed that the people who always complain or criticize someone as being judgmental or criticizing them for judging them is usually the person guilty of the exact same thing that they are being accused of? I preached on judging, right, in the adult Bible study this morning and tonight. Preaching the truth is judging. Let me repeat that. Preaching the truth is judging. That's why people hate Bible-believing preachers for being too judgmental today. That's why sinners and rebels do not like old-fashioned hellfire and damnation preaching, because it is too judgmental. It is too convicting. It bothers you because of the sin that you're harboring in your life. That's why the vast majority of pastors, evangelists, teachers, and missionaries are a bunch of spineless cowards. They want to be loved instead of preaching the truth from the Word of God that will convict sinners to get right with God, but also anger the rebels who hate God and the man of God even more. John the Baptist, Daniel, the Hebrew boys, Jeremiah, Micaiah, and others were hated by their own people or by the heathen round about them because they dared to preach the truth from the Word of God. You're not a man because you're a male, as we said last week. You're a man because you love God and the Word of God and the house of God and the people of God and the things of God. You're a man because you're the one that has provided for your family and not your wife. You're a man when you're physically able to, but your lazy, selfish carcass is too lazy and you apply for food stamps or welfare to feed your family because you're a lazy bum that feeds off of taxpayers who support your fat rear end and your video games and your videos while you send your wife out of work and send your wife and children to church while you stay home because you're a rebel. That's not a man. That's a two-faced, hypocritical coward who can't stand preachers who have the courage and a backbone to preach judgmental sermons. I know why people miss church services. I'm not stupid. I'm not naive. It's because preaching is too convicting. It's too judgmental. It's too narrow-minded. It's too hard. That's why wives say to their husbands, why are you always picking on me? Why are you so nitpicky about everything? Why are you trying to change me? Well, if the right kind of husband, they're going to do all that. If you're a child of God, born again by the Spirit of God, you should always want God to change you more and more towards the Word of God and to be less and less conformed to this world. You should thank God you have a teacher and a preacher who cares more about your spirituality than he cares about whether you like him or not, how much money you put in the offering basket. You ought to thank God you have a church where the preaching is hard and convicting and old-fashioned and too judgmental. That is why the spineless traitors who stand behind pulpits are too afraid to tell their people the truth because they want the people to love them. They don't care if they're using a perversion or not. They don't care if they're dressing like whores and abominations. They don't care if they share the gospel with the lost. They don't care about mentioning sin, hell, or judgment. They just want to be loved. That's why you hear these grown-ups complain and criticize their parents and their church for being too strict, too narrow-minded, and too judgmental. You know what they're saying? They're saying they're a bunch of babies, a bunch of cowards, a bunch of traitors, a bunch of rebels, and they do not like rules. They do not like to be confined by the Word of God. They do not like it when someone points out their sin and their rebellion. They do not like it when a preacher preaches against their sin. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, this is being labeled as hate speech today and will soon be outlawed as soon as the Democrats take over the White House and the Congress. They'll put more anti-Christians on the Supreme Court. They'll pass more anti-Christian laws, and they will start to persecute more and more Christians for boldly stating what the Word of God states. Lazy people judge hardworking rich people. Fat people judge thin people. Ugly people judge good-looking people. Young boy went up to his dad one time and said, Dad, what do ugly people look like? What do ugly people look like? He looked down and says, I don't know, son, we're Greek. You'll get that by next Tuesday, maybe. People who've made the wrong decisions and choices in life hate those who are successful because they made the right choices and the right decisions. Depressed and discouraged people judge those who are happy and joyful and cheerful. The green people, the environmental wackos, judge everyone else who doesn't toe their line. Socialists judge capitalists. Baby murderers judge the pro-life groups. The sodomites and perverts judge Christians. But yet they're telling us that we're not supposed to judge anybody when God's commanded us to judge. Righteous judgment. It's about time you take your Bible out and start reading it. And don't be concerned what the world says. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We read this in the adult Bible study. We're going to read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And this is right after 1 Corinthians 5, obviously, where God tells us how to separate ourselves from the ungodly, the worldly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, starting in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? The smallest things. That tells you God's people are not very wise today. Going to court, taking people to court before an unjust judge. God says, don't you have any wise person among you who can judge among yourselves? The smallest matters? Verse number 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life. Matters and things, as we explained in the adult Bible study earlier. Verse 4. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Paul's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you. You know why? Because you've been taught, I'm not supposed to judge. Judge not. Oh, no, we're not supposed to judge. I don't want to be called judgmental. Why don't you stop listening to the world and start reading your Bible? You can't judge a small thing. You can't tell when somebody's lying to you and pulling the wool over your eyes, being hypocritical and two-faced, coming up with excuses why they can't do what God's commanded them to do. Wake up! Every day you make judgments about everything else. Don't leave your judgment at the door when it comes to things of God. Don't be so naive and stupid. But brother, verse 6, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Why? Because there's not one person that can judge in there? No, we've been taught you're not supposed to be judgmental. We're not supposed to judge one another. Only God's a judge. I want to remind you, there's a whole book in the Bible called Judges. That's not by mistake. A whole book in the Bible called the Book of Judges. We're going to read the definition of judge. Are you ready? I'm going to read fast. You can write it down. You can turn if you want. But in Exodus chapter number 2, verse number 14, when the Israelites, the Jews, rebelled against God and Moses, this is what they said to Moses. Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? That's what they were complaining to God and to Moses. Who do you think made you a judge and a prince over us? If you were to read Acts 7, verse number 27 and 35, it quotes the same thing in Exodus 2, and it says, this Moses, verse number 35, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. So God translates the word judge in the Old Testament as a deliverer in the book of Acts. You know what a judge is supposed to do? Deliver people. That's what a judge is supposed to do. If you're going to be the right kind of Christian judge, you're supposed to restore one another. You're supposed to deliver somebody. You're supposed to win somebody away from Satan, away from the world, and win them to Jesus if you're going to be the right kind of judge. Instead of having evil thoughts and wicked thoughts, well, why'd he say that? Why'd she do that? Why are they doing that? Did you see what they're wearing? Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? You know what God said? You're judges of evil thoughts. We read that this morning in the adult Bible study. If you're going to be the right kind of judge, you're going to try to deliver somebody. Judge step number two. I'll keep reading if you want to write or turn. Listen to me good. This is the definition of judge. In Judges chapter number 2, verse number 16 and 19, the Bible says, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. So God raised up judges that would deliver them. He said the same thing in verse number 18. The Lord raised them up judges. Then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. Verse number 19 says, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. I know why people don't want judges and rulers and princes and kings, because most people are a bunch of rebels. They're lawless. They don't want to follow the law. They don't care about law and order. They want to say, who do you think you are? You're not God. You can't judge me. That's somebody who is ignorant of what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. That's what he said. Not just to appearance, but righteous judgment. Let's keep reading the definition in 1 Kings chapter number 3 now. This is a definition of judge in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter number 3. And in verses 9, it says, when Solomon was made king, he said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? So one of the characteristics of being a judge, the right kind of judge, is delivering somebody and discerning between right and wrong, right and evil. Not being selfish, as we said in the adult Bible study. God gave him wisdom and knowledge. He said, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself that thou mayest judge my people. You want to be the right kind of Christian judge, and ask God for wisdom and knowledge, and God will make you the right kind of judge. He said, Jesus did say, we covered that in the old Bible, said, judge not, lest ye be judged. For with what judgment you meet, it's going to come right back to you. So you better be careful what you judge, how you judge. Before you judge, you better make sure you know your Bible. Before you open your mouth and start criticizing somebody, you better make sure you know what God said. Let's continue with the definition of judge. Luke chapter number 12, if you're writing or turning. Luke chapter number 12, and in verse number 14, it's interesting. Jesus says, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? In Luke chapter number 12, verse number 14. That's very interesting. Because you know what a judge does? He divides that baby, man, just the way it's supposed to be divided. You're just too divisive, Pastor. You're just too divisive. I don't like being divisive. Then you know what? You have a hole in your head, and you've been listening to the world instead of Jesus Christ. You know what judging does? It divides a party against somebody else. Somebody wins, somebody loses. Somebody's right, and somebody's not right. You know what a judge does? He delivers a just cause. You know what a judge does? He wins somebody their favor that they deserve. That's what a judge is supposed to do. Now, I know we got a lot of wicked rulers and judges today. I know that. I'm not oblivious to that. And God says a lot about that in the Bible. And God puts those judges there. And I know a lot of them are not right with God, but doesn't matter. That's what a judge's job is supposed to do. Deliver people, win people, and divide who's right and who's wrong. Who's honest? Who's not? Well, that's what you do. Don't you do that with your children? Mommy, Johnny just hit me. Well, I can't judge that. I don't know. I wasn't there, so I can't judge. I can't judge. Mommy, Susie took my stuff. Well, I can't judge. I don't know. Is that how you act as a parent? You know how ludicrous that is? But yet that's what the world's trying to tell you today, that you're not supposed to be judgmental about anything. Like, it's okay to kill a baby before it's born. Like, it's okay for these perverts and sodomites to persecute Christianity. He said, well, you're not supposed to judge anybody. How about getting your King James Bible out and reading it? God said we should have judges in Exodus 21:6. His master shall bring him unto the judges. Exodus 21:22. He shall pay as the judges determine. We'll skip. Leviticus 19, verse 15. In righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. In righteousness. God says it's command. In Judges 3:10, Othniel, Caleb's younger brother, by the way, was a deliverer. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. Judges 3:10. Judges 3:9 says that Othniel was a deliverer. In Judges 10, verse number 2 and 3, Tola judged Israel 20 and 3 years. Deborah, the prophetess, judged Israel. Jephthah, in Judges 12, judged Israel 6 years. Ibzan judged Israel. Elon judged Israel for 10 years. Abdon judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 nephews. Can you imagine? He judged Israel 8 years. Samson judged Israel 20 years. 1 Samuel 2, verse 25 says, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. Not God. The man, the judge, shall judge him. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. Well, you know what Paul says? He says, I speak this to your shame. Is it so that there is not one wise man among you? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? God commands there to be judges in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 11. I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. He said the same thing in 1 Chronicles 17:10. One of the qualifications for being a judge in Ezra 7, verse 25. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. One of the qualifications being the right kind of a judge, I'm not talking about a judge on a bench in a courtroom. I'm talking about a believer who's supposed to be the right kind of judge is knowing the laws of God Almighty. Before you open your mouth and want to criticize somebody because you're angry at them or you're jealous or you're envious or you want to hold a grudge against somebody, the best thing for you to do is read what God says about it. Because God says you're going to be judged the exact same way you're judging somebody else. The exact same way. It'd be good for us to keep our mouths closed. Before we offer somebody our opinion, why don't you wait till somebody asks what your opinion is? My Bible says in Job 12, 17, that God maketh the judges fools. Psalm 2, verse 10 says, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Psalm 58, verse 1 says, do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Psalm 82, verse 2, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Psalm 141, verse 6 says, when their judges are overthrown, and they're going to be overthrown, by the way. Proverbs 8, 16 says, by me princes rule, nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I was in family court years ago. I can't tell you, I can't be specific, but I'm not going to give you any names. But I remember this pompous, arrogant judge was on the bench. Pompous and arrogant. And this woman came in. I can't remember all the details of the case, to be quite honest with you. It's been so many years, so I want to say 20 plus years or more. And she came in by, it was a black lady, you know, and she came in by herself. And I can't remember if it was DSS on the other side. I can't remember now. It was a government on the other side. I can't remember what the issue was. She was all by herself. And the judge, this pompous, arrogant judge, asked her, ma'am, do you have an attorney? She says, yes, I do. She said, who's your attorney? She said, my attorney is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the judges, it was an eye roll, you know, like, oh, yeah, don't worry. That judge is going to be judged by God Almighty one day. You better mark her down. Yeah. They may be in charge now. You wait till the King of Kings gets here, amen. They may think they're on a bench highfalutin now. You think they think they have all the power. Now you wait till they're on their knees before the God of heaven. You better hold your judgment until you get the book right. About any issue, about any doctrine. Some people just blabber at the mouth because they heard somebody say something without checking the whole book out. It shows me to judge you to be an imbecile idiotic when it comes to Bible scriptures and truth and doctrine. So you talking about me? Yeah, I'm talking about everybody. Judge what I'm saying, Paul said. Well, we believe anything that comes along the pike, any new heresy, any new wind of doctrine, just because somebody says it, it must be true. Because somebody has a following, it must be true. Get your Bible out and read it. Judge righteous judgment. Proverbs 29, 14 says, the king that faithfully judges the poor. Proverbs 31, 9, open thy mouth, judge righteously. Isaiah 1, 23 says, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. That, I'm telling you, that pertains to most of God's people today, man. They're rebellious, they're companion of thieves, they love money. They don't care about the things of God or helping others or supporting missionaries or getting people saved. Isaiah 5, 3, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. God said in Isaiah 40, verse 23, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. He judged the cause of the poor and needy, then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord, Jeremiah 22, 16. When you judge righteously and you consider the cause of the poor, then it will be well with you. God says, was not this to know me, saith the Lord? Ezekiel 20, verse 4, wilt thou judge them, son of man, wilt thou judge them? cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. That's what God says. Preaching is judgmental because it causes you to know your sins and your abominations and your iniquities. I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, welcome to the vast majority of Americans today. You're in the vast majority because most people don't like old-fashioned hellfire damnation preaching no more. They're in love with themselves. Ezekiel 44 says, in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. Amos 2:3, I will cut off the judge. Micah 3:11, the heads thereof judge for reward, the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Remember the statement. Every single Roman Catholic priest is a liar. Remember the statement. Every Greek Orthodox priest is a liar. Every single one of them. When you teach somebody you have to be baptized and go to heaven, or you have to work your way to heaven, that is contrary to the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're liars. Oh, but they're so nice, they can smile, they're so friendly, they're so kind. Are you deceived that you can't judge the smallest things when they're teaching contrary to the word of God and teaching heresy? The judge asketh for a reward. The judges are evening wolves. Maybe I shouldn't broadcast this, but for 32 years I've done funerals and weddings. I've never one time charged one person. I cannot tell you how many times people are shocked when they ask me how much do we owe, and I said, no, you don't owe me anything. You don't charge a fee? No, I said, I don't charge a fee. And I'm not against people who do charge. And I'm not against people who take, pastors take a salary. I'm not against that. But for 32 years, ladies and gentlemen, you've come to this church, I've never charged for a funeral, never charged for a wedding, and I don't take a salary. I'm trying to teach you how to be a capitalist instead of a socialist so that God will bless you, and maybe you, when you retire, you can live off the good fortune that God's blessed you with if you work with your hands instead of depending on the government. I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to be judgmental this morning. I'm trying to make you a capitalist, not a socialist. I'm trying to make you a Christian, not an atheist or an agnostic or a heathen or a pagan. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying. I'm trying to divide the sheep from the goats. I'm trying to divide the cowards from those who have courage. That's what I'm doing. I'm judging this morning with no apologies. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment, he said. It's interesting. Because he said in Luke chapter number 19, verse 22, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Jesus is going to judge us by the word of God and the words and our lives alone. Luke 12:57, he says, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Let me repeat, Jesus said, the same Jesus who said in Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2, judge not, lest you be judged. The same Jesus said, he said, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Don't you want to be right? Why would you want to be wrong for the rest of your life? Why would you want to live a life not being right? I want to be right. I don't want to be arrogant about it. I don't want to be highfalutin about it. I don't want to look down at somebody the wrong way, but I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right when I stand before God. I want to be right when I'm preaching. I want to be right when I'm reading my Bible. I want to be right when I'm praying. I want to be right. In order to be right, you have to be judgmental, make some judgments. Maybe they're not popular. That go against the vast majority of people. The Pope is still the Antichrist, ladies and gentlemen. He ain't changed. And the next Pope's going to be the Antichrist too. Don't you worry about it. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 5. Verse number 22, he says, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And then he says in verse number 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. That's unbelievable. It's like they're passing off the buck. God has given all judgment to the Son. And the Son said, I don't judge. I'm going to use the book to judge. I'm going to use your own mouth to judge you. How hypocritical we've been criticizing somebody who's probably 10 times better than we were. Struggling, going through a hard time, but we were being arrogant and pompous, looking down at somebody when we had money in our pocket and they didn't have money. When we were driving a nice car and they weren't driving a nice car. When we were living in a nice place and they weren't living it. And now the tables have turned, hadn't they? That's a humbling experience, isn't it? The best thing is keep your mouth closed until you read the whole book and learn how to judge righteous judgment. He that rejecteth me, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 12. Verse 47, I'll go back there. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48, the next verse, he said, he that rejecteth me, listen to this. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Hey, you got a Bible? This is the book that's going to judge you. And all those lies, all those two-faced, bald-faced lies, and your hypocritical life is going to come to light when your life is going to be depicted on the screen in front of the entire universe. In light of the word of God, why? You disobey what God clearly commanded you to obey. The lost judge, lost people judge. In Acts 13, verse number 46, it was necessary that the word of God should at first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You know why people end up in hell? This will be good. They've judged it so. They have decided, I'd rather reject Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says in Acts 13, 46. I'd rather reject Jesus Christ and burn in all eternity in hell because I decided it. I chose it. I judged it. Every single person that dies without Jesus Christ, they've judged that way. They've decided that way. They've chosen that way. Oh, I don't know. The book was written by man. You know, it's a bunch of fairy tales. It's got so many contradictions. And, you know, who knows who wrote that? And you don't believe that stuff, do you? You just judge yourself to hell. Oh, I don't think a loving God would send anybody to hell. Well, I don't think a right thinking, clearly thinking mind would reject the Lord Jesus Christ and decide on their own to end up in hell. First Corinthians 2:15 says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. All things. In the adult Bible study, I say you should judge things, matters, words, and actions, not the life of a person, not the heart of a person. You are commanded to judge things, the smallest matters. But only God's going to judge the individual in the totality. That's why Paul said, judge nothing before the time. When's that? At the end of the life. You know, when you go to a funeral, that's the end of the life. Then you can say, well, he did this, she did that. People stand up, give some testimonies. At that point, life is over. But you know, even at that point, you don't know everything. Only God knows everything. But you are commanded, you and I are commanded to judge words, actions, deeds, how people conduct themselves. We're commanded to. The same God who said, judge not, lest ye be judged, said, judge righteous judgment. Hey, why don't you start thinking correctly? Why don't you start thinking on your own according to the word of God and judging right? You'll be shocked how quickly your life will turn around. You've got your head in the sewer listening to the world. And that's how you're going to end up with a sewer in your mind, the sewer in your heart. You can do anything you want. Like there's no consequences to your sin. There's no consequences to your rebellion. There's no consequences to disobedience. Yeah, there is. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Are you saved this morning? You don't want to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Judge in yourselves, 1 Corinthians 11:13 says. Verse 31 says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32 says, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. 1 Corinthians 14:29, let the other judge. In 1 Corinthians 14:24, the Bible says that the visitor church is judged of all. That's what it says. Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? James 2:4. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law. Thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. James 5:9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And I'll close with this, Isaiah 16:5. The Bible says, in mercy shall the throne be established. Are you trying to win people? Or are you trying to destroy people? Are you trying to restore people? Or are you trying to stomp on people? Are you trying to discourage people? Or trying to encourage people? In mercy shall the throne be established, Isaiah 16:5. You have a throne, and you're sitting on it. Your throne is your life. And you're going to judge, because you judge every single day more things than you ever realize you do. It comes naturally. You just judge. You think about everything. Is this safe? Is this strong enough? Which way am I going to go? Where am I going to work? Where am I going to live? Who am I going to marry? What job am I going to have? You judge more than you think you do. You're on a throne, and your throne is your life. And you're the judge of your life. You're either going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to receive him. You're either going to reject the word of God, or you're going to receive it. And at the end, when you're all done, every single one of us, our entire life, every thought, every deed will be displayed in front of the whole entire universe of mankind. And then shall all men have praise of God. And then all every knee shall bow. And we're going to be guilty. You say, you know what? God, you were right. I should have humbled myself when I realized that I was just a sinner saved by grace. If you're going to judge, and you're going to judge righteous judgment. Let's all stand.